I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I am so thrilled to have my next guest here. We have Miguel Leal, who is the co-founder and CEO of Somos Foods. And you may not have heard of Somos Foods yet, but it is absolutely incredible. I am such a Mexican food snob, I will say it. And when I got to try my friend Miguel's company products, it was just, I was blown away. I mean, it was so, so good. So definitely you need to pick up some of these different products that he has. He'll talk a lot more about it because it truly is authentic Mexican food. After working with incredible brands, including most recently, he was the CMO for Kind Snacks, which I think most people are familiar with, he decided to finally do his own startup and partnered with two other Kind alumni to build Somos Foods. And I say finally because he was an incredible CMO also of Diamond Foods. And he's also worked at Cholula and lots of other incredible brands out there that really understands how to get a brand out there, but also make people aware of the greatness of these companies. So all of the ingredients for Somos are locally sourced in Mexico, and they use traditional methods of preparing their ingredients. And he'll talk a lot more about that too. So without further ado, Miguel, I just want to welcome you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kara. It is so great to see you. And thank you for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to hear a little bit more about you growing up and what was life like for you and where did you grow up?
Yeah, so I grew up in Monterrey, which is in the northeast of Mexico, about 100 miles south of the Texas border. And, you know, my family is actually from a border town called Nuevo Laredo. So I used to go and see, you know, my grandma and my great grandma, my family there. We would cross the border to Laredo, Texas, and we would go to the HEB in the border and the Walmart. And even since I was a kid, I was always so impressed with the number of SKUs and varieties that I was able to find in cereal or even, you know, items that didn't exist in Mexico, like, you know, cottage cheese or peanut butter or fish sticks. And it was a big part of growing up, you know, these trips to the border and being able to go to the store. And my mom would always let me, you know, buy one item. And I think, you know, I always loved it, created a big impact on me. I went to engineering school. Then I came for graduate school to the U.S. where I met my wife. My wife is from Michigan. And ended up staying here, working in the food industry, you know, worked at Danone, worked at Pepsi, and, you know, eventually, you know, became the head of marketing at Kind, where I met Daniel and Rodrigo, my co-founders. And like you mentioned, always wanted to start a business and really Somos became a very personal project for Daniel and I. We had been talking about this project for a couple of years, 2-3 years now. And we, you know, I'll tell you more about it, but just to be able to tell the story of Mexico through its food, we feel like this is a story that hasn't been told. And we would love for Somos to be, you know, a part of telling that story.
That's incredible. So obviously you've worked with bigger companies. What's the smallest company you've come into, I guess, as, you know, you're an incredible marketer and leader. You know, what is the smallest one you've worked on before starting your own?
You know, actually, after business school, I was following my wife's career, which was the main breadwinner in our family, and moved us to Texas, where I ended up starting a company from scratch. So we did that company for 5 years. It was on paper converting. So we did, you know, like the paper that goes into the Subway oven when you ask for a heated sub, or, you know, the bags for McDonald's or the wraps for Carl's Jr. So we started that company. I started it from zero. We took it up in 5 years to about $100 million and made all the mistakes in the book. You know, I was in my late 20s, you know, thought I knew it all, realized very painfully that I didn't know anything. And but I think that a lot of those learnings, you know, focusing on culture, you know, not making, you know, bad decisions in the short term, focusing on the long term, are things that are coming very handy now that that we are launching Somos.
You've worked at a lot of great companies. You mentioned culture. You've started your own company in the past. But what makes a company exceptional?
Ooh, that is a great question. Well, in what we do, you know, which is food, I think the number one thing is taste. You know, your products have to be delicious. And they not only have to be delicious, but they need to be delicious all the time. They need to be delicious all the flavors, and they need to be delicious all the SKUs. You know, that's something that was a big part of KIND, and I feel that is something that we are definitely bringing with us into Somos. But that is what requires to have a great company, to have an exceptional company. In my opinion, is really what we mentioned, which is culture. You know, here at Somos, everyone is an owner on the business, and we expect everybody to behave as an owner on the business. Everybody has a position to at the table to hold each other accountable. And I think at the end of the day, that is really what is going to set us apart. I hope, you know, when I'm giving you an update on Somos in 10 years from now, that's really what becomes the special sauce. The culture that we are building, and the culture that hopefully continue to attract great talent to the company.
So let's get into Somos. So KIND was sold. How long ago was that? It was about a year ago. I lose track of time.
It's part of Mars now. And the deal happened in November of 2020. So about a year and a half ago.
Okay. A year and a half ago. And so at that point, you decided to, you had sort of been thinking about this, as you mentioned, over the years. You used to live in Northern California. We were just discussing that. I'm sorry for all of you Northern Californians who think that Mexican food is terrific, but I will disagree. And Miguel backs me up on this. And so obviously you were thinking about it. So what else inspired you to create Somos?
Yeah, I think Somos, you know, it's probably a 10-year story. You know, Daniel and I, you know, we work together at KIND, but we've been friends for almost 15 years. And, you know, in New York and, you know, working together at KIND, we saw how much Mexican food at restaurants change. So in New York, you know, restaurants like Cosme or Tacos Numero Uno or Rosa Mexicano, they just brought more authentic, delicious, better for you dishes that reminded us of the food at home. But, you know, being, you know, people that work in the CPG industry, you know, we realize that the options to prepare Mexican food at home remain incredibly limited. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, you know, Mexican food, you know, has really been dominated by Calmex or Tex-Mex cuisine. As example, you know, foods like, you know, the fluorescent yellow molded hard shell tacos that you see in stores, or chimichangas, or taco salads with fluorescent yellow cheeses and sour cream, they really don't exist in Mexico. And I feel, you know, a little bit in the US, there is often a blanket approach to Mexican cuisine and Mexican culture. But the reality is that Mexican food is very diverse. You know, we feel, you know, exposing consumers to the food from Oaxaca and the food of Puebla and the food from Baja, you know, could be something very interesting. And I was very excited to be able to, you know, do it also with friends and with a team that we've worked together before and to make this a reality.
That's great. So talk to me about the name Somos.
Yeah, so Somos means we are. And, you know, that is very intentional. So we feel like there are other brands that in the market that have done, you know, not a great job bringing cultures together through food. And we wanted this to be part of our DNA. Our mission is to bring the best of Mexico to the world. And that obviously starts with food. We make rice, we make beans, we make salsas, but we, you know, our hope is that it becomes more than food, that at one point we bring, you know, a little bit of culture in every bite. And it's small things, but it's, you know, our packaging is based on the alebrijes art form, and it's done by an artist in Monterrey that, you know, she hand-painted the design that goes in each one of our bags. And if you order a taco kit from our D2C service, we always include a playlist of Mexican music. We also include a surprise and delight, Mexican candy. You can see the weather on different parts of Mexico on our website, or even we have a link if you want to book a trip to Mexico, you know, from our website. So it's really, you know, bringing the best of Mexico to the world. And that's where Somos, you know, really comes from.
The CFOs that get it, get it. And the CFOs that don't, don't. Let's talk about the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer. Today's CFO is critical to the strategy and success of the business. And in growing companies, there are two kinds of CFOs. One who's struggling to keep up, spreadsheets everywhere, manual processes, errors, and lack of visibility into the numbers. It takes weeks to close the books. The other kind is on top of their game, automated reports, inventory, e-commerce, and HR flow into the financial model seamlessly. Insights coming in with the click of a button. That's why NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite has everything you need to grow your business. It allows you to control your finances, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, all from one place. NetSuite has been instrumental in helping us at Hint, helping us keep track of so much at our fingertips. We have used NetSuite since the early days of our business, and I can't recommend it highly enough for any business looking for software that can scale with you no matter your industry. Hey, over 29,000 businesses already use NetSuite. So if you aren't one of them, maybe it's time. Head to netsuite.com/Kara. That's K-A-R-A for a special one-of-a-kind financing offer. That's netsuite.com/Kara. netsuite.com/Kara. Hey, Kara here. We are thrilled you are listening with us, and I hope you're enjoying this episode. I have had the pleasure of interviewing so many amazing guests over the past few years, and there are so many more to come. I cannot wait. And my focus is on entrepreneurs and CEOs, real innovators and leaders who are making a difference. That's what I'm looking forward to bringing you. One of the reasons I enjoy interviewing many of my guests is that I get to learn. We all need to hear stories that teach us to be better, inspire us, and help us get through those challenging moments. I can't remember the last time I had a guest that didn't leave me feeling like a major hurdle had been overcome. We just don't hear these stories enough. And when we do, we learn to be smarter and stronger. Don't you agree? Episodes are concise but packed with amazing info that you will surely be inspired by. Do me a favor and send me a DM and tell me what you think about each interview that you get a chance to be inspired by. And if you are so inclined, please leave one of those 5-star reviews for The Kara Golden Show on one of your favorite podcast platforms as well. Reviews really, really help. Now, let's get back to this episode. When people are launching in the CPG market or a beverage, I remember when I was launching Hint 17 years ago, a friend of mine said, oh, I have a friend, this guy, Josh Dorf, who has a flower company. You should talk to him because he's in Whole Foods. And, you know, categories, it really does make a difference. I mean, how you go to market, how you obviously shelf life considerations operationally. How did you think about that? And maybe what surprised you the most? Because obviously this is a very, very different segment than Kind Bar ever was.
Yeah. So, you know, probably we were thinking it the same way when we started working, I want to say full time on the Somos project. I think, you know, our biggest surprise was the market opportunity. And to give you an example, you know, we ended up with a larger assortment than I would have predicted for our first year in business. And that was a result first of, you know, designing the assortment around the consumer. You know, mm-hmm. Mexican food is very popular in the U.S. You know, we know U.S. consumers are using Mexican food, but, you know, we wanted them to be able to prepare a Mexican meal in a convenient way. We felt like convenience was a big barrier for consumers cooking more Mexican food at home. So we ended up, you know, with this line of rices, beans, salsas, and veggies to complement and putting that meal together. The other surprise was the acceptance that we had in retail. You know, for a category that is as large, as mature as Mexican food, A, there has been very little innovation in that set. You know, not a ton of challenger brands, but B, most of the brands that exist today either do authentic Mexican food for first generation immigrants or Tex-Mex food for mainstream consumers. But we couldn't find a brand that did authentic Mexican food to mainstream consumers the way Cholula, Topo Chico, or Chipotle, you know, have broken through. So those two were big surprises, and unfortunately, you know, the reception has been, you know, much better than we could have predicted on the retail side.
And so when you started out, you're based in New York, the New York area. Did you start out local, or what was sort of the initial plan? You obviously launched the company during hopefully the end of COVID, but I'm sure it was an incredibly, you know, different time than maybe you had once thought of launching a company. But I'm curious, what was sort of your strategy there on getting it out there?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So Daniel and I have a third partner, Rodrigo, that joined us, you know, before we started the business. Rodrigo is just an incredible human being, but he was also the head of product and innovation at Kind. Mm-hmm. For personal reasons, he had moved back to Mexico. He's a mix of a chef and a food scientist, and he comes from a long family of chefs. You know, many people in his family, including his mom, are chefs, and he had a food business before he came to Kind. So the fact, you know, that we trust him, that he's so good, and that he lived in Mexico when we were starting the company, he's still living in Guadalajara, was just very fortuitous for us. So we started with Rodrigo making these recipes with his family and doing bench sample and sending them in the middle of COVID, where we couldn't really leave our houses, sending them in boxes to Daniel and I. We would share them with our families, and we just fell in love with some of the Mexican process that he was using. The, you know, nixtamal corn that we use in our chips, the, you know, tatemado process that we use for our salsas. And we thought, you know, all of these products were incredibly unique. So we had an idea on how and what kind of pace we wanted to launch them. I think if you had asked me this question a year ago, I probably would have told you that my expectation is that we would launch, you know, in Texas or in California, probably with, you know, a couple of regional accounts. But the reality is our first two meetings were with national retailers, and they gave us an opportunity to take our SKUs nationally. And it's just been fantastic since then. We started shipping, you know, our first ship was to Sprouts and to Kroger, which, you know, was incredible. And now, you know, this month we are open up with Albertsons, HEB, Meijer, Superfoods, Harmons. So, you know, we're in our fourth month since we shipped our first case. And we are just very lucky, you know, that the opportunity is there and the trust of the retailers. And, you know, we are looking to be roughly on 3,500 to 4,000 stores by the end of the quarter.
That is absolutely amazing. Congratulations. I mean, that's, I think that's a great story, though, of, you know, so much of an entrepreneur's journey is not, it's not planned, right? You may think like, okay, you're going to head one direction, but you have to be willing to change along the way and be opportunistic too. So I think that is a such a great example of that for sure. Obviously, you've been the CMO of some incredible brands and just in multiple categories. How do you get the word out about an entirely new company that no one knows what it is, not to mention the fact one that's disrupting a category that needs disruption too? How do you do that, especially when you're young and you're trying to make sure that the consumer is going to buy it, right? You don't want to over-market the product. And how do you do that? And I think that the other piece of that too, which I'd love to hear your opinion about, is the story. Because I'm a huge believer that stories behind brands are really what it engages people. And obviously Kind did such an amazing job with that you were involved in and Daniel was involved in. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that too.
Yeah, so let's start with the story, because to your point, I think that is the most important piece. And then I'll be happy to share some of the challenges and ideas that we have on the marketing mix, especially as we are just building distribution. But we are very lucky. I think one of the best stories told in food and beverage was Kind and the mission of Kind, and to be able not only to have Daniel, but a lot of people on the marketing team and on the, you know, Equilibra team, having that school has helped us tremendously. Specifically for Somos, it's going back to our mission of sharing the best of Mexico with the world. And I like, you know, always to use stories as examples. So for me, the story of the movie Coco is something that has given me just a lot of influence in the Somos storytelling. When I went to see that movie, I lived in the Bay Area, and I went to see it with my kids who are American, and I couldn't stop crying watching that movie. And it was, I was so proud, Cara, of, you know, it is so much harder to talk about the things that should be celebrated in Mexican culture than to make a joke, you know, on the things that, that maybe we don't do well, right? Mm-hmm. Or the, you know, some of the things that are misunderstood. Mm-hmm. So with Somos, I wanted to do exactly that. I wanted to replace that narrow view of Mexico and tell the story of all the things culturally that Mexico has to offer. And what we realize in storytelling is when it comes from a point of authenticity, for example, things as simple as doing our photo shoots in Mexico with Mexican directors, when we are formulating recipes, when we grow our vegetables on Mexican farms, you know, when we tell the story of what is really the meaning behind Cinco de Mayo, every time that we go back to our mission and we get closer in the dollars that we are spending, in the people that we're supporting it, you know, we're going to talk in a little bit about marketing mix. When we work with Mexican or Mexican American influencers, it always surprises us that that's when we get the biggest hits and the biggest traction and the videos that go the most viral. So I think that that's something that it doesn't matter, you know, what is the Facebook or the Google algorithm, doesn't matter if it was Kind or Kettle or Cholula, that is something that is just, you know, always going to be part of us as we move forward on the story side. And to your question on the marketing mix, is very tough because, you know, typically with Kind, we excelled on PR. And I think as time went by and the brand grew, we became, you know, very good in digital and field marketing as well. I think here, you know, the challenge is if you go with an awareness tactic and you are only present in 10% of the stores or 20%, which we should be hitting in the next few months, that means that 80% of your dollars or your awareness efforts are going to go wasted. So we really, in these early days, we try to get as close as possible to the store. Shopper marketing, trial. I feel like this is why Kind was so successful with field marketing, and that was such an engine for Kind for so many years. So we try to make the best products that we can with the best story that we can tell, and then get them in front of consumers. Direct to consumer plays a big role for us in terms of trial and being that engine for teaching people how to cook. And yeah, we're in the early innings, but we are definitely very happy with the results so far.
That's incredible. Well, I love hearing that because I think, you know, a lot of people have that question too when you're trying to get the word out. And I remember when we were launching Hint, the challenge of creating an entirely new category, unsweetened flavored water, was, you know, super challenging. We couldn't just launch a billboard to say, unsweetened flavored water. I mean, we could, but it would almost be wasteful. People needed to try it. So you talking about shopper marketing and sampling and field marketing, I think is so, so key. So definitely it's challenging. Do you think that's changed significantly with COVID in terms of how you think about the field marketing and the shopper marketing?
Yeah, I am an optimist. So I'm definitely going to tell you my point of view from a glass half full perspective. But I think we started the company at the perfect time. We didn't do it on purpose because I don't think there's ever a perfect time to launch a business. But on one side, you know, there was not a lot of innovation through COVID. So starting the company last year and launching this year, I feel a lot of our retail partners are hungry for this innovation, and I giving brands like Somos an opportunity. But to your point on the marketing mix, If we would have launched it a year earlier, last year it was very hard to do in-store tactics because it was very hard to get into the stores. And I think, you know, right now what we are realizing is, you know, people are starting to be a lot more open, and maybe perhaps the pendulum is moving to the other direction.
Definitely. So, Miguel, I always ask all of our guests to share a story. Hopefully you will agree to do this as well, that where maybe you faced a challenge along the way in building your new company. So it shouldn't be, you can't go that far back, I guess, because it's so new. But while building Somos, that maybe you just thought, okay, this is really bad. In the timeline of Somos, something just was just really awful. What did you learn either about yourself or about doing, you know, maybe how you had to change in some way as a leader? I'd love to hear about that experience.
Yeah, no, that is a great question. I mean, you know, I probably, you know, if I went back, I would probably mention, you know, the business that I started that was, you know, not probably, you know, incredibly successful financially, but it was, you know, I wouldn't be doing Somos if it wasn't for that. Specifically on Somos, you know, something that comes to mind that at some point, you know, was I thought it was great, and then that it was terrible, and then it was great again. Yeah. You know, from the beginning, we had this idea of premium Mexican food. You know, we thought Mexican food didn't have to be, you know, cheap, didn't have to have bad ingredients on it, didn't have to be heavy or with a lot of calories. So we thought, you know, I've only worked in the U.S., so, you know, this was my first venture into, you know, developing a supply chain from zero in Mexico, that we would be non-GMO, gluten-free, and plant-based for our launch. What I didn't realize, Cara, is that, you know, those certifications don't exist in Mexico. So to be able to go and build it, and it's not only building it, it's a lot of it convincing, you know, rice doesn't have gluten, but it can get cross-contaminated in transit, you know, going into our, you know, manufacturing partners' facilities in Mexico. So how do you go and convince, you know, the rice growers, the transportation partners that we have, our co-packers in Mexico, that this is something that is going to be, you know, successful and that is going to be worth their time? And it was incredibly hard. I, you know, second thought of that. I thought maybe we were not going to launch it or we were going to be incredibly delayed. I think at one point, and mostly, you know, because people knew we had, you know, success with Kind and success with Kettle and success with Cholula, and both, you know, Daniel, myself, and Rodrigo are Mexicans. You know, some of the communities in Mexico that we were working on this project bet on us and decided to come on, change their processes, get certified. But they clearly were giving us looks that we were crazy, you know, and we did it. We ended up launching. We were a little bit behind. And this year, with all the supply chain issues that we've had, ended up being an incredible blessing. Because these, you know, supply chains that we've built are almost exclusive for us. You know, we're one of the only companies buying non-GMO ingredients and, you know, having gluten-free lines and, you know, developing all of these products. So now that that other competitors are having issues sourcing or with manufacturing capacity, or even, you know, when retailers were going to give us a regional test and last minute decide to give us a national opportunity, we are able to lean into that supply chain, and all that pain has had incredible return investment for us and for our, you know, suppliers and partners.
What are the challenges of getting, you talked about supply chain, for getting your product from Mexico to the U.S. during this time?
You know, that is something that we learned with Cholula. You know, when we were, running Cholula before, you know, the exit to McCormick, what we realized is there is great infrastructure for moving food between Mexico and the U.S. Mexico doesn't have labor issues. They do great, you know, growing vegetables and a lot of the raw materials that we have. They've been manufacturing food. There is a great network. You know, one of the families that we grow vegetables and manufacture with, they are in their fourth generation in that business. So, you know, a lot of experience as well. With Cholula, during the pandemic, you know, the category grew 70%. And we were able to have the best OTIF rates across the entire category for retailers. And, you know, Laura, who is our head of supply chain, you know, she ran supply chain when we were at Cholula, and she's our partner here at Somos. So she is incredibly experienced, you know, growing, sourcing, and moving products across the border. And so far, it's been great. I think, you know, most of the places where we manufacture our product are between 8 to 10 hours from deliveries in Texas. So for a lot of our suppliers, a lot of our partners, not only in Texas, but in the rest of the U.S., we are almost considered a domestic supplier because of that proximity to the border. So, you know, a lot of times when I talk to peers in the industry, you know, I tell them about all this capacity in Mexico, and I try to do a lot to connect people there. But I think, you know, with everything going on, containers and Asia and Europe, I am very bullish that other brands, not only in the Mexican category, but in other categories, are going to be able to find a lot of success sourcing in Mexico.
That's great. Great, great to hear. Well, thank you so much, Miguel. This is, I mean, so many tidbits there, and you're so inspirational to so many people who might want to go and follow their passion and really go and do something like you've done with Somos. So it's an incredible product. You mentioned many of the stores that you are going into. What is the website as well if people want to find out more?
Yeah. So go to eatsomos.com. That's EATSOMOS.com, and follow us on social media at eatsomos on all the platforms.
It's, and truly, you guys, I mean, I don't do this for every brand, but it is super, super yummy. So everybody needs to go out and get some Somos for sure. And thanks everybody for listening to this episode. Don't forget to subscribe, where you're going to hear from incredible leaders and creators like Miguel. And please be sure to send in those 5-star ratings. It really does make a difference on the algorithm. And I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. Miguel, are you on social as well?
You know, I dropped social last year, but I'm still on LinkedIn.
Okay, there you go. So Miguel's last name is spelled L-E-A-L. So definitely follow him there as well. And my own journey, I documented in my book, Undaunted, as many people know, launched about a year and a half ago now, where it talks about the journey of building Hints. So hopefully if you haven't had a chance to pick that up, please do. And we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and we just added Friday a few weeks ago. So excited to be doing that and really getting creator stories out there like Miguel and Somos. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Miguel. And everyone, have a great rest of the week. Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.